indeed the Second Vatican Council's document on the lay apostolate. Our catechism on the subject is now on question and answer 43. Our sequence, remember, is first the lay apostolate and then our lectures on the angels. For the first time in my life, in Dallas, Texas, I gave a retreat. 3 conferences every day for 8 days, exclusively on the angels in our lives. Question 43, therefore, basing ourselves on the sequence of the Council document on the lay apostolate. Why are young people so important in the lay apostolate? Here is the answer of the Second Vatican Council. Young people are more necessary than ever in the lay apostolate for 2 reasons. In the modern world, their special and even political importance is greater than ever before in history. First reason, in large measure due to the academic training of young people. In the United States annually, we have over 5 million people on college and university campuses every year. That's one reason. They are being academically trained, our young people, as never before in history. Moreover, as we all know from our own youth, the natural ardor and exuberant energy of young people, inspired by God's grace, enables them to exercise a powerful influence in evangelization. When you think that the Son of God, who became man, that he died and redeemed the world at the ripe old age of 33, needless to say, you don't have to be an octogenarian to be effective in the lay apostolate. There is a natural zeal, shall we say, exuberance among the young people. The secret is to use that zeal for the extension of Christ's kingdom, but, and this is a crucial adversative, but as we know, our Catholic school system in the United States, this is the verdict of the Holy See, our Catholic school system in the United States has practically disappeared as a system. We must train those who in turn will inspire and train others, beginning, of course, with the young. Question 44. How are adults to cooperate with young people? And let's be clear, as you parents know, it is one thing for young people to be exuberant. It is something else for young people to take directions from their more mature and experienced adults. And this, in case you haven't heard, is one of the evil designs, first of all, of Marxism, which has deeply penetrated our own nation. The spirit of independence, better, of autonomy in a supposedly developed country like ours, tells the young people to be themselves. Don't tell anyone to tell you what to do. I may have mentioned this in one of our previous classes. Having a graduate degree in psychology, I was accepted by the District of Columbia to counsel parents who were sentenced to 6 months and more of probation because they spanked their children. You know what I'm saying? Our culture trains the young in such a way as to tell them you are independent even of your parents. For 70 years in communist Russia, the law was by the age of 11 months, every child ceased to belong to the parents and became a ward of the state. I began reading Marx at the age of 14. My background is Byzantine. Let's make sure you know what I'm saying. The young people now in our culture are being told to be themselves. I have not yet answered the question. Basing ourselves on the council document, how are adults to cooperate with young people? Adult Catholics should foster a friendly relationship with the young. That's easier said than done. And by the way, if you have not read either A Life of St. John Bosco or any of his writings, read him. He was a genius in knowing how to deal with the young. St. John Bosco. There is a psychology for dealing with the young that we all need to learn. They go on. They, that's the adults, should share their experiences and above all, by their own apostolic zeal, inspire young people to become apostles of Christ. Of course, we adults have got to use our heads. But I repeat, do not hesitate sharing, always within the bounds of prudence, your own experience. Jimmy, when I was your age, guess what I did, here's what happened to me. I'm sure I've shared with maybe all of you by now my experience at the ripe old age of 4. I'm sure I did. On the kitchen floor, being ripped by my widowed mother, telling me, Johnny, you stop screaming, I'll stop whipping. I know I reached the age of reason by the age of 4. I said to myself, now that makes sense. See if it works. I stopped screaming, and the pain stopped too. A logical conclusion. I recommend, you may be surprised at my recommendation, go back in memory and make at least a 1 or 2 cents recording, I don't mean on tape, in writing, of some of your childhood or youth experiences. One memory will lead to another. The young people need to know that we were young once too. That we were maybe more brash than they are. Tell them about the mistakes you made, as I've just told you, and the punishments you paid. And explain to them how you learned. My father died when I was a year old. I was playing ball with some fellows about my age, 10 years old. Whatever happened, one of the fellows, he was angry with me. Playing in the backyard of the house, and both a boy who was a tenant and where my mother and I lived. He called his father. Father, without asking a question, just give me across one cheek. I didn't turn the other. He didn't wait. He banged the other cheek. Lucky he didn't break my jaw. In my tears, I said, "Mister, you would do this to me if I had a father." All I know is a father is indispensable in raising the children. Question 45. Are children to be trained for the apostolate? Yes, says the council. In fact, it is never too early to begin training even the youngest children for the apostolate. Children of 6, hear me, can begin to evangelize other children their own age. As Pope John Paul told parents and teachers, we are to communicate, I'm quoting the Holy Father, to the child, communicate to the child the joy of being witness to Christ in their daily lives. When a child hears, see another child speaking irreverently about God, or a lady, or saying something nasty about the faith. Train the child to speak up. I don't like that. Or I wish you would not say that. Or I can see you've not learned what I know. Jesus is God. Question 46. What is the apostolate of like to like? It is, says the council, the distinctive feature of the lay apostolate. The laity live in the world. They associate with people like themselves, in their friendships, in business, and in all the countless ways that only the lay faithful can experience. For 14 years, I taught in New York City. I lived on Park Avenue, no less, and 83rd Street. I'd often, either on business or to take my required walk, go down to Wall Street. In one Wall Street office after another, there are so many of the Jewish people are doing, well, business. More than one executive, you know what? Having his head covered. Don't tell me that is not noticed by your business associates. You may think I'm being excessively pious, having a little crucifix on your desk, making a sign of the cross when you sit down for a meal. Talk about the things you believe in. This apostolate of like to like is of the essence of the lay apostolate. You lay people are in such constant, close contact with other lay people. I repeat, these are not my opinions. This is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. You have a duty to witness to your faith among those with whom you live, among whom you work, and whom you influence. But how you act, what you say, what you don't say, and listen, and what you allow other people to say in your presence. Am I clear? Having been on the stage for 6 years before I entered the Jesuits, I sometimes think I'm on the stage ever since. We mainly speak with our faces. There was such a thing as a carefully calculated frown. I repeat, and this is something we've got to examine our consciences on. First time I've done this, I would ask you to keep a record of ways in which you find from experience you can, as you already please God have done, influence your fellow lay people. It does not matter what the religion is, you are Catholic. Show it. In other words, keep a record of how you find you'll make mistakes. That's the way you'll learn. I will then ask, first I'm going to repeat that I'm asking for this. I would like to get written just little anecdotes, little experiences that you've had of how you have influenced, affected, touched, maybe changed the lay people with whom you work, with whom you live, in an apostolic way. Share those ideas with me in writing. With God's grace, we will get them published. Question 47. What is the scope of this like-to-like apostolate? And the council tells us it is beyond limit. Not only are the faithful to share their Catholic faith with the people in their own environment, they are to reach out to all the people in their country, and in fact, to the whole world. Never before in Christian history has this opportunity been so far-reaching. We, of course, always have the apostolate of correspondence. We are now in the holy season of Lent. I think I should recommend, I hope I don't want to call it penance. Ask yourselves what letters to whom you could write by Easter Sunday. I don't stop on Easter Sunday. Being human, we just, oh, we're so happy to get mail. And we're so slow, most of us, to write. In general, I think I should say this. Women write more than men. God bless you, women. When I get a letter, I don't have to see who wrote the letter. First of all, if it's in pink or lavender, above it has a gentle fragrance to it. I know exactly who wrote the letter. But then, the bulk of the letter, if there's so little in the letter, I've got to put it against the light to see if there's anything inside. Must have been some man who wrote it. If it's thick, double postage, or my gestures had to pay extra postage. But for both men and women, it is not just the quantity of the writing. Frequency of writing is important. Ask yourself, how many letters can I write before Lent closes? And when one of your friends gets a letter, might call you up long distance, Mabel, I'm so grateful for your letter. She might even ask you, what happened? Please don't tell her. This is my penance for Lent. There are so many ways in engaging in this like-to-like apostolate, the media, recording, writing. Where would I begin to encourage you with all my heart to write, and especially for publication? Those who don't have the faith are filling our libraries, as you know, with thousands of volumes that better should never have been published. The media, the radio, television, recording, exercising the apostolate of like to like. I repeat, never before in Christian history has this opportunity been so far-reaching. Question 48. Why is this apostolate opportunity so great in our day? The main reason is because of the modern media of communication. The Second Vatican Council is uncompromisingly clear. I quote, "All the members of the church, especially the laity, should make a concerted effort to ensure that the means of communication are put at the service of the multiple forms of the apostolate without delay and as energetically as possible." That's from the Holy See's Council document, Inter Mirifica, Chapter 2, Section 13. And when the Holy See told me to organize an association in a publishing house for the furtherance of the apostolate, only one neighbor I can think of, no competition, Inter Mirifica. My comment, sad to say, the most neglected of the 16 documents of Vatican II is this document on the means of social communication. And you know why? Because this document is as clear as a bell. The main reason, hear it, the main reason why the Holy Spirit has given us a modern means of communication is to use them in the apostolate. To this day, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops does not have a television station of its own for the teaching of the Catholic faith. And, shall I say, poor Mother Angelica, badly crippled, as you may know, in constant pain, now reaches 11 million with EWTN by television in our country alone every day, and now 40 nations by radio. When I took my Vatican superior to spend a day at Mother Angelica's place in Alabama, he told me he was speechless with joy. If only, he says, more Americans would be using the media to teach the faith. I have been ordered, that's the verb, by Pope Paul VI, formally ordered to do everything that I possibly could to promote the use of our media of communication to teach the faith. Otherwise, said Paul VI, I fear for the survival of the church in America. Question 49. What is the starting point of every form of the lay apostolate? It is, as I trust, you have copies of these papers, do you?
Yes.
The individual believing Catholic . This personal apostolate is always and everywhere in place. I keep repeating, it's no option, but an obligation. I've said it before, but I want to underline it. And if I had a loud voice, I would shout it. Two. Promote the lay apostolate for each one of us is a duty on which, hear it, our salvation depends. I can't believe it. We've got a board here. Can I be heard even though I walk away from this?
Yeah.
What is the one virtue on which we shall all be judged, whether we will be saved or lost? The virtue of
charity.
In the Catholic Church, we distinguish two forms of the apostolate. We have what we call the corporal works of mercy, and we have the spiritual works of mercy. Mercy, by the way, is charity practiced towards people who don't deserve it. One of my favorite definitions of mercy. The gruff, the uncouth, the unkind. Those that have been very, well, hard on you. The blustering, the cruel, the mean. And the meaner they are, listen, the meaner they are to you, the more merit you gain if you practice charity towards them. They don't tell him, Jim, it's because you're so mean that if I'm kind to you, I'll get more merit from God. Don't tell him that. It's this second form of charity. This is a condition of our salvation. I'm sure I've told either most of you or maybe even all of you. About 12 years ago, Mother Teresa was called in by the Holy Father and told, Mother, I am so pleased with what you're doing in health, feeding the hungry, providing lodging for the homeless, taking care of the sick and the dying. By all means, continue your work of charity. But from now on, I want your sisters to engage in the spiritual works of mercy. I want you to start teaching the Catholic faith. I want the missionaries of charity to be catechists. My Holy Father and Mother Teresa again, even as you know, talk this way to the Pope. My Holy Father, our sisters are not trained. We don't train them. And this sinner was appointed by the Holy See to train Mother Teresa's sisters to practice the spiritual works of mercy in teaching the faith, especially to the young. They now have over 40,000 children in Calcutta alone under catechetical instruction. And I will be, by the way, in Calcutta later this summer. And the Holy Father also told them, and put this into your constitution. I'm changing your rule of life. Yes, Holy Father. This, all I can do is repeat my words, maybe change my volume or change the vocabulary. Our salvation depends on our sharing the faith. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
This is the teaching of the Catholic Church. Question 50. What are the forms of this now individual apostolate? You notice we distinguish between the individual lay apostolate and the corporate lay apostolate. Once more, the forms of this individual apostolate are without limit. In every situation, the true believer is to witness to his or her faith. And that statement is to witness, has a duty of charity. Living as we are in a profoundly paganized America, I hope you believe me. Someone who has the faith and lives it must, and the verb is must, do everything in his or her power to share this faith with others. The laity, therefore, are to proclaim Christ, explain, and spread his teachings, each one according to his condition and competence. And I am more than asking you, as far as in me lies, I'm telling you, to both do so and keep a record of what you are doing. Things you may never have tried to do before. Something has to be done. In one diocese after another, and as I'm sure you know, the two dioceses most notorious in America for the loss of faith. You know who they are, don't you? Chicago and Detroit. I'm talking as part of my business in working for the Holy See. You can be so mesmerized, and the more you live in a paganized culture, you don't even realize what kind of an atmosphere you're living in. When is the individually apostolate imperative? It is imperative where the church's freedom is seriously hampered, as it surely is in our country. In such circumstances, as far as possible, the lady may have to take over the work of priests, and not, God forbid, women take over parishes where a Catholic priest should be in charge. Pardon me for being so frank. This can be at risk of their own freedom and sometimes their lives. No doubt, this will call for heroic courage in the midst of persecution. Does anyone here doubt how the Catholic Church is being persecuted in America? Unquestionably. Ever tell you how my very good friend Father Joseph Fescue retained his exemption from being taxed as a publishing house? Ever tell you about this? Ignatius Press did an operation for a few years. And as a Catholic organization, became tax exempt. Then he got a letter from the Internal Revenue Service. Thank God it is not international. A good friend in the IRS office in California said, "Father Fescue, sit down. You are about to lose your tax exemption. There are people who don't like what you are publishing. So, Father Fescue asked, what do I do? Well, you can continue in operation. You've got to find some way of becoming tax exempt. What do I do? You never guess what the IRS agent recommended. Father, he said, I recommend, I understand you have people, dedicated people, working for you. Oh, they're very dedicated. Do your people pray together? Oh, they sure do. They're called the Guadalupe Associates. They're really dedicated. Yes. And they go to church service together. Oh, yes. We have Mass every day for them. My suggestion is, you form a church of your own. So, Father Fest, you did that. And having established, pardon me, his own church, he now has tax exemption from the federal government. And I'm being taped. And some of these tapes I sometimes remove. The pressure on the Catholic Church now, for example, the pro-life organization, you know this, don't